Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And it's good to be back after a couple of weeks vacation. It was a lot of fun, and I'm sorry it ended so soon, right? I mean, once you start enjoying that vacation, man, that's really good. It's hard to come back from that. But anyway, it's good to be back. Good to see everyone today. And I want to encourage everyone, too, to be praying for my friend Donnie here. And he had a couple more biopsies done the other day. One benign, one they believe is small cell cancer of some kind. But the doctor hadn't said that yet. He just went online and read the reports. You know, you do that and you can scare yourself sometimes reading ahead of time. But they're going to be doing the other biopsy on the 27th on his liver, and hopefully that will come out clean. So be praying for him about those things. All right, our message today is titled, Changing Our Mindset. And this is going to be a two-part series, and it also comes from the book of Ephesians. We just finished a series titled One from Ephesians chapter 4. This message will be from Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 5. A number of years ago, Ron Sider wrote a really good book titled The Scandal of the Evangelical Conscience. The subtitle read, Why Are Christians Living Just Like the Rest of the World? The disturbing statistics of spousal abuse, divorce, premarital relations, racism, pornography, are almost as common, with 40% of American people who say that they are born again as the general population. Sider writes, every day the church is becoming more like the world than it is allegedly trying to change. There's a big gap between what God intends and how the church actually lives. So the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. But the vast majority of Christians have enthusiastically embraced provocative dress, loose moral values, crude language, and the self-indulgence which comes with our culture. It's not just nominal Christians who are failing to live distinctive lives. We hear, you know, about clergy from time to time engaging in spousal abuse or child abuse or alcoholism or something along those lines. And Christians are displaying such little distinctiveness that no wonder we're not making the impact on the world that God has called us to make. It's kind of hard when you're just like the world to say, hey, you need to change and be like me. I am like you. See what I mean? It's really hard to change. So, this two-part series will come from Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians 5. When you read the letter of Ephesians, Colossians is the same way. The first couple of chapters, first three chapters in Ephesians is doctrinal. And the last three is duty. In Colossians, the first two are doctrinal and the last two are, you know, duty. It's just the way Paul constructed these letters. So you have doctrine and you have duty. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, we need to switch our thinking. That's what Paul tells us here that we need to do. He says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, and the futility of their mind. So Paul is calling us to change our mind about the way we live. So what exactly is a biblical mindset? Maybe this will help you. A biblical mindset is defined as those who believe in God as the all-knowing, all-powerful Creator. That Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, died for our sins, and rose again. They believe Satan is real and salvation is a free gift from God. They believe that every Christian has a personal responsibility to evangelize and that the Bible is totally accurate in all that it teaches. That's a biblical mindset. And that mindset will help you. According to Sider's, 9% of Christians have a biblical worldview. Think about it. 9%. Is he right? Is he right about that? Because if he is, that's sad. You see, these people are less likely, are less likely to fall into the sins that other people do. So if you have a biblical worldview, 9%, he says, has that. That's so low to me. But if you have a biblical worldview, your chances of falling into sin are not as great as if you don't. That's the point that Siders is making. There's a direct correlation between what a person believes and how a person behaves. There's a correlation, right? And so that's why repentance is important. You have to change your mind about the way you live, or you're going to continue to live that way. That's what repentance is. It's changing your mindset. David said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Jesus said, "Father, sanctify them through your truth." Your word is truth. The Bible speaks repeatedly of the importance of the mind. For example, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Or as a person thinks, so he is. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast on you." The mind of the sinful man is death. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. "Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things," we're told. We have to change our mindset. So Ephesians chapter 4 makes a contrast here between the Christian mindset and the secular mindset. That's what Paul's doing here. He's showing the two side by side. "Listen, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves to lewdness, to walk in uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct of the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust or desires." And so Paul was just simply putting these two mindsets side by side. Here's the mindset of the Christian. Here's the mindset of the unchristian, of the unbeliever, if you will. So he talks about the secular mindset. Now, there are a couple of phrases here that really describes that mindset. Paul, first of all, he speaks here of the futility of their thinking. Their thinking is futile, Paul says. What is that? It's empty. It's meaningless. It's without purpose. Futile thinking is any thinking that doesn't include God, that doesn't have a biblical world view, that doesn't have God at its core. Any thinking that doesn't have God at its core is secular. Without God, there is no moral law, there is no purpose, there is no life after death. So when people, push God out of their lives, as so many do, their thinking becomes futile. They just go downhill. You see, if there's no God, there's no purpose. And if there's no purpose, then there's no afterlife either. And so you just do whatever, because there is no God. There is no afterlife. So do whatever you want to do. And so that's how our thinking gets so screwed up. Many folks are just living for the moment. And many, on the other hand, commit suicide. That's just what happens when you have that kind of mindset. So Paul says futile thinking describes this mindset, but then he also refers to their darkened understanding. Darkened understanding. And so the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We've looked at that in John. When people reject Jesus, they walk in increasing darkness. That's what happens. Because Jesus is light. If you reject Jesus and just walk through life, you just will go into greater darkness. They reach a point that they no longer see the difference between right or wrong. They're blind to truth. They're confused about spiritual morals. You know, the state of Ohio, a number of years ago, had a requirement that anyone teaching Darwinism or evolution, that they had to include the challenges to Darwin's ideas. And so the ACLU got involved and said, if you do that, we're going to sue you. And so guess what the state of Ohio did? Yeah, they did away with that curriculum. They caved. They caved to the ACLU. That's what they did. Which is crazy. Because even though all the polls shows that only about 20% of the people in Ohio agreed with them, the rest of the people didn't agree with them. And they still caved. And it's just crazy. But that's the craziness we're talking about. That's what happens when you don't have a biblical mindset. That's what happens when you walk in darkness. Those are the things you do. You know, there's a parallel passage to this in Romans chapter 1, where Paul basically shows the same thing. When you reject God, you just go downhill. It's just a downhill journey. And so there he refers in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. He says, their understanding was darkened so that they lost all common sense. That's what happens. When you walk in the darkness long enough, you lose all common sense. Here's an example. So, there is a warning on the drug called Lunesta. Lunesta is a sleep aid. And it has a warning on there that says, this drug may cause drowsiness. Well, duh. It's a sleep aid. But yet they have to carry that. They have to do that. But on the other hand, a woman who's considering abortion doesn't have any warnings. I mean, there's no warnings about the emotional or the physical consequences of having an abortion. So they just have an abortion. There's no warning. This could happen. You know, something else could happen. These things could happen if you do this. But you got to put, this drug may cause drowsiness. But you're not going to put any kind of a warning for a woman who's going to have a procedure such as that? That's the loss of all common sense. People who are spiritually dead can scoff at Bible teaching while others tremble. And they can see pictures of starving children and never give a dime. They can get arrested for drunk driving and endangering other people's lives and losing their careers even. And the next week, do it again. Do it all over again. I've been there, and I think others have been there. But that's what happens when you walk in darkness. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. They can, you know, parade in front of the camera naked and not worry about it. They can abandon their families, not think about it. And they could kill a child and go back to work on Monday. Think about that. How can anybody be so hardened? How can you be so hardened? He says in Ephesians 4:19, they've become callous. That's what happens. They become callous. And if you have callous on your hands, people who work hard do, people who don't. Right now, I don't really have any, so I haven't been working too hard, I don't guess. But anyway, if you have calluses, you really don't have feeling there. You can take a needle and stick it right in there. It's not going to hurt. It's past feeling. And this is the way hearts become. Our heart becomes calloused. And it doesn't have feeling any longer. And that's a dangerous place to be having become callous. You see, if there is no God to whom we're accountable, then anything goes. I mean, go do it. Doesn't Paul say the same thing? If there's no resurrection of the dead, eat, drink, and be merry. Have a good time, because this is all you're going to ever have. So Paul even says, do that. So people just indulge in a life of sensuality. And rather than pleasing God, they are trying to satisfy their fleshly desires, their sinful desires. And here's the thing about sinful desires, they're never satisfied. They're never satisfied. Because you have one day, you're going to have one tomorrow, you're going to have one a little later. You're always going to have them. They're never satisfied. You never, you know, oh, if I just get this one thing, I'll be content. No! There's going to be something else that's going to take its place. Have you ever watched to catch a predator before? Takedown with Chris Hansen. That's his name, Chris Hansen. Do you know that some of those people have been caught 2 and 3 times? How can you be caught 2 or 3 times? One doesn't scare you away? It's crazy. So in verses 20 to 24, He then gets into the Christian mindset. That's where he says, but you have not so learned Christ. That is the way he's been talking about, that worldly mindset. No, we have a different mindset. Our thinking should be purposeful, because we're taught the truth that is in Jesus. That's what Paul says. The death and resurrection of Jesus gives us hope beyond the grave. The world's understanding is darkened. Paul says ours is enlightened. And so we have an enlightened mind and understanding. We've been made new, Paul says, in the attitude of our mind. We know who we are. And we know that we've been created by God, and we know that we're not here by accident. We know this. And we should have a new attitude about our destiny. You see, we're going to be with God. That's what all this is about. We know our purpose. And our purpose is to glorify God. It is not to gratify our fleshly lusts. The Bible is light from heaven. And it gives us common sense that's worth more than any PhD at any Ivy League college you can think about. The world has a hard heart. But Christians have a teachable heart. It's pliable. It's not calloused. It's teachable. It has feeling. It's different. And so the world has a hard heart. We have a teachable heart. And he says, and you were taught to know Christ. You see, when you come to know Jesus Christ, He will break your pride, bend your knees, moisten your eyes, and soften your heart. You know, David says in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You see, the Christian's behavior is going to be different. Paul says that we put off that old self, that immoral self. The Christian disciplines his desires because they're sinful, and he knows that. And so non-Christians indulge in every kind of impurity you can think of. But the Christian, he seeks to be like God in true righteousness. See, true righteousness is living rightly. It is imitating the life of God. It's not just restraining from fleshly desire. So Christianity is not just about taking off old things. It's also about putting on things. You take off the old and you put on the new. So this morning, what's your mindset? Do you have a Christian mindset or a secular mindset? we need to hear what Paul has to say because it's so critical. Our life will never be what it should be until we have a biblical mindset. And the only way you can have a biblical mindset is to read the Bible. It's not going to happen by osmosis. You can't just carry the Bible and hope that it just sinks in. It ain't going to. You got to read it. And then you got to practice it. And that's the hard part. But we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us. And so this morning, if you're struggling and you need help, then come to God. Come and let us pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this morning you can come as well. We'd love to teach you about Him and love to tell you about His wonderful sacrifice for our sins and how we could be made right with God. So whatever your need is, make it known as we sing.